call this regular meeting of Amherstburg Town Council to order. Apologize for the delay, technical difficulties outside of Town Hall this week, so it takes a few minutes to get them straightened out. That brings us to roll call.
Can I call your name? Please indicate that you are present. Councilor Courtney?
Present.
Councilor MacArthur?
Present.
Deputy Mayor Milosh?
Present.
Councilor Peru?
Present.
Councilor Reno?
Present.
Councilor Simone?
Present.
Mayor DiCarlo?
Present. Okay, is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? Seeing none then, that brings us to item three.
Item three are the minutes of the previous meeting. The recommendation is that the minutes be adopted and that those confidential minutes of the closed sessions of council remain confidential and restricted from public disclosure in accordance with exemptions provided in the Municipal Freedom of Information and Protection of Privacy Act. 3.1 is the special in-camera council meeting minutes of January 6, 2020.
Can I get a mover? Councilor Simone, and second. Deputy Mayor, any questions, corrections? Or those are in camera. Okay, all those in favor? Carried. And then that brings us to the final tax rate report.
I'll move the recommendation.
We just have to read it first.
The recommendation before you is the final tax rate bylaw 2020-23. It is recommended that bylaw 2020-023, being a bylaw to set and levy the rates of taxation for the year 2020, be taken as having been read three times and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
So moved.
Moved by the deputy mayor. Second. Councilor MacArthur, questions or comments? Councilor Peru.
Yeah, I have a few questions. I have to tell you, I read this three or four times before it started to make sense. Am I correct that the tax levy, which was 0.81, is now going to be minus 1.64?
That's correct. Who do you assure? Cheryl?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, okay. The tax levy is actually the amount of dollars raised. What council approved in December was a total levy of $24,288,149. So that's what will be collected. Based on the return roll and the tax ratios adopted by the County of Essex that have been applied to it, it has resulted in a reduction in the town's portion of the tax rate for 2020 over what was charged in 2019.
And where does the money go? Does it go back to the taxpayers?
So through you again, Mr. Mayor. So there's not an impact to the town in terms of financial, it's what we collect from them. So the way that it's spread out over all of the ratepayers, residential, commercial, industrial, and all of the rate classes, the amount to be collected goes out on the bills, and the amount that they would be billed for the town's share of their tax bill will be less than it would have been, all else equal, which is an important note, to last year. The town is in fact, if I may add, collecting exactly what council approved as the levy, which is the dollars raised to fund the budget that council approved for 2020.
No, I understand that. I understand. Do we have any options? No, I think the taxpayers want, had to pay less. I have no doubt about that. Do we have any options? I have seen before where there is other municipalities where there is a windfall. Sometimes the council opts to do other things. A, other than the reserves. B, fix infrastructure. C, do put it in a specific reserve or put it against next year's taxes. Are any of these possible or doable, or should we even consider them? Or just simply do we collect the amount of $24 million that we said, and that will in effect result in people paying less than anticipated?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'll take a stab at that, and then if the CAO wants to contribute, I'll leave that to his discretion. Council has adopted the budget for 2020. If council wanted to consider amending the budget, there would have to be a process around that, and I would suggest that would be a challenge given the current times we're living in. Certainly, you know, it's not something that, given Amherstburg's financial status, that administration would have brought forward a recommendation to reduce the tax rate. Certainly, as council's aware, the recommended budget would have levied more dollars than ultimately were levied. And so a really, I guess, important takeaway for council on this is to consider, when you're looking at the services the town provides and the dollars needed to fund them, that really is the important focus for council in this, because council does not have full control over all of the elements that determine the tax rate. So council is never in fact adopting the tax rate when they pass the budget, unless every element is known. So the roll is returned and the tax ratios have been adopted, and that would be, those would be the other two elements aside from the dollars to be collected. So if council wanted to consider reopening the 2020 budget, we could look into whether there were options under the Municipal Act to in fact do that, but I certainly will not pretend to speak for council on what the implications of that would be with the community.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I have no intention of doing that. I just didn't see that in the body of the report, and I was hoping it would have been there.
Deputy Mayor?
To Cheryl, the shift from the 0.81 to negative 1.6, that was brought upon by the increased assessment of $100 million, is that correct?
In short answer, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, is there any other questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. And then that brings us to 5.1.
5.1 is the roster for engineering services for drainage works 2020 to 2022. The recommendation is that the proposals from the following respondents to the RFP for engineering services for drainage works be accepted: Rude Engineering Incorporated, NJ Peralta Engineering Limited, R. Dobin Engineering Incorporated, Dillon Consulting Limited, R.C. Spencer Associates Incorporated, and M. Jarrett's Consulting Incorporated. And also that the proponents be included in the town's pre-qualified engineering services roster for works under the Drainage Act until December 31st, 2022.
Mover? Deputy Mayor, second. Councilor Reno, any questions? Okay. Councilor Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple questions in regards to this recommendation roster. I see the RFP went out. Obviously, I can't disclose what we received, but there was amounts, different amounts from each company. Some were more, some were less. I guess because the Drainage Act, it affects the direct parties involved with that project. Obviously, you want to not pass on too much of a burden, financial burden, onto a resident that might need drainage work, that permitted toward drainage work. So how would it work, obviously, for a new drainage project? How does it work? Why do we need so many on the roster? Would you not want to go with the most cost efficient? And I'm not sure who that's going to. I don't see Shane here, so.
Antonetta?
Sorry, I was trying to unmute. Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. Basically, we put out this roster every 3 years to get a group of engineers that are qualified to do the work. Yes, they do vary a bit in prices. However, they fall within pretty much the same realm of scope. Why we want such a large or as many qualified engineers as possible is, especially in the drainage field, there's very limited amount of people that can do that work, and they're doing that work for all local municipalities. And so the work is spread amongst these engineering firms, but obviously there's only so much to go around. So when a project comes up, our drainage superintendent does look at the type of work it is, the qualifications, the experience of these companies, and also their availability at the time. And a lot of times you run into they just don't have the staff available at the time. So we do want a fair number, as many as possible, on that pre-qualified list.
So a little further into that then, so if a project comes up in our town, do we re-tender, contact all of the recommendations on the roster here to find out who's available, and then go with the best financial, qualified, etc.?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, no. When you put out an RFP, it's not just a price issue, it's qualifications, it's experience, it's the proposals that they provide, it's the type of work that they've done. So once we have this roster and the prices that they've supplied, those are now locked in, and we know what we're facing, and we just award the project to the most qualified person or company.
If they're available. If not, then it goes to the next, or the next, or the next?
Correct.
That is correct.
And with drainage acts, I mean, some are probably expeditious or needed to be moved along quickly, but others are not. So is there any, for instance, where you can get a qualified engineering firm that is less money? Again, I'm only saying this because the Drainage Act is pertaining to all individuals affected by it. So this goes on to experts for residents. And if it's a few dollars cheaper with the same qualifications, can you stall or halt until a cheaper firm's a
Through you, Mr. Mayor, when it comes to drainage work, we try not to stall or halt the work, because usually what's involved is either someone has concerns with the actual drainage of their property or a group of properties. And a municipality, if we don't meet the deadlines, there's actual set deadlines for that type of work. If we're made to find that we're delaying or stalling the project, and something goes wrong, like there's an event that causes flooding, that could come back on the municipality being responsible or liable. So we wouldn't tend to do that. Again, as far as the drainage superintendent is concerned, he does look at all factors available to him at the time, and he obviously will pick the best company that's available at that time.
Okay, thank you, Lieutenant.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. And that brings us to information reports.
The following information reports be received. Item 6.1, the building activity report for months of January, February, and March 2020. And also item 6.2, the monthly fire department activity report for March 2020.
Mover. Councillor Simone, second. Councillor Prue. Questions on those reports? Councillor Prue.
On the first report, dealing with the building activity report for the months of January, February, and March 2020, the author, Angela Abolio, writes in the last two lines, "There was a surge of applications for new residential dwellings that were submitted prior to the end of the year due to the anticipated increase to development charges." I'm going to vote for this. I'm going to say that we receive it, but I would request, if we make a motion, that the Mr. Abolio and or the treasurer outline to the council how many houses came, how many more that was than the previous year, and what the costs were to the municipality due to the motions that were made.
OK. Okay, yeah, I think we'll have to come back with that information. And,
Did you wanna, can I just, through your worship, in the building activity report, it outlines that in January there was 19 single detached and 6 semi-detached homes that were, permits were pulled. Based on the previous development charge amount, we should be able to get that back to council. Would council want that via email or via report?
Council approve?
I would be happy either, but I would like to know the cost to the municipality for the motion that was passed.
So you would like to know what the revenue that was not recognized as a result of the increase in development charges? Just want to make sure it's clear, because it's not a cost, it's revenue that wasn't recognized. We still had the base revenue from the previous DC. It was the incremental difference that we need to let council know about.
Yes, that's what I want to know, the incremental difference. What did we forego by reason of that motion? What monies would we ordinarily have expected had we increased the amount as per the consultant's recommendation versus what we received as a result of council's decision?
Okay, sorry if I take that as a separate motion after we just receive these minutes there. Might be a little clearer that way. I'm looking at the clerk. I think she'd prefer it as a separate item as well. So just on the reports themselves, is there any questions, other questions? Councillor Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Chief Montone, first off, I just want to say thanks the other day. I reached out to the chief for some clarification on things happening with the flood stakes, and he got back to me quickly. We had a good conversation. In regards to your report, just a couple clarifications. I saw that obviously training's been halted and understandable, so less contact amongst firefighters. And then it mentioned that weekly maintenance activities has been canceled. Just want to clarify that that's not inspection of equipment and trucks and things like that, or is it?
Through you, Your Worship, thank you, Councillor, for the question. What we have suspended is the weekends where five or more staff would come in on a regular basis to do the maintenance. That maintenance is now done after calls throughout the week. So as calls occur, the maintenance is conducted by staff while they're, when they return back to the hall. And by staff who don't happen to get to the halls quick enough to jump on the rigs and aren't required at the scene, they proceed while they're waiting for everybody to get back with specific station maintenance and tools, etc. When we have a situation where a number of calls don't occur for some time, then we ensure that our full-time staff attend to make sure that the minimum level of maintenance is maintained at all times.
So that means the full-time guy from Station 2 is leaving his area to go inspect other vehicles in the municipality?
Yes, that's correct. That's a normal occurrence. They're out about in the community everywhere, not just in their own station's response area, and they respond to calls from wherever they are in the municipality.
Okay, I'll let that one go. We'll talk further about that at another time. Lastly, the fit testing. You said that the crew is expeditiously working on getting everyone fit tested. Am I to assume that some firefighters have not been properly fitted and responding to calls, or and why hasn't this been done in the past?
Again, through you, Your Worship, thank you, Councillor, for the question. This fit testing is in relation to APRs, which were procured for the purposes of the pandemic to relieve our reliance on N95 masks, which are very, very hard to come by. We crisis, and so we had to, of course, have all of our staff receive an additional fit testing in order to make sure that they're properly protected and we meet the requirements of the Occupational Health and Safety Act. With respect to regular ongoing fit testing that is required for N95s and other breathing apparatus or respiratory protection equipment that we have on an ongoing basis, staff are regularly fit tested for that equipment, and it's conducted in accordance again with the CSA standard and the Occupational Health and Safety Act.
Chief, just for to explain, the APRs are what exactly?
The APRs are a for the non-educated, they are a respiratory protection piece of equipment that is made up of a nose cup which fits over the nose and the mouth of the firefighter. They are neoprene rubber, and we attach to those face pieces cartridges, replaceable cartridges, which we were able to secure a sufficient supply while everyone was scrambling for the N95s. They have the same rating as an N95, but they weren't in as much demand. And as a result, our staff are more than adequately protected for the current challenges we're faced with.
I know we're going to keep tabs on the pandemic and costs associated with that. How many units were purchased, and would you know offhand the cost? Because I've been told that they're pretty pricey compared to an N95 individual mask. Would you have that information? And if not, that can be brought back to us in a report.
I will bring it back in a report for you. They were not excessively expensive as compared to having to purchase thousands of N95 masks.
Okay, at least the number of pieces did you purchase?
We purchased a total of 72. We have 68 staff requiring them, and we had a couple of extras. Obviously, there's breakage and wear and tear and those kinds of things.
Okay, I've got concerns. I'll wait for the report. Thank you.
Okay, other questions on those reports? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. And then back to Councillor Crewe for his motion. Did you need it repeated? Could you repeat the motion, please, Councillor Crewe?
The motion was just for a report. It doesn't have to come back to council. An email to councillors would be sufficient for me, outlining the difference in the amounts of money that were collected using the old formula versus the amounts of money that would have been collected using the formula that was suggested by the consultant. That's what I'm trying to find out. What council's decision, what monetary value council's decision had, i.e. how much did we lose by doing what we did?
I understand the CO's actually got a rough number, if you want to do that.
I can provide you with an order of magnitude estimate that council approved. It's about $73,000.
That's sufficient. It's on TV. It's part of the meeting. I'm happy with that. Thank you very much.
Did you still want any further information, or is that close enough, I guess?
It's close enough. It was a contentious issue, as the council might remember. I believe it was decided by one vote. And I was just puzzled as to the decision, but I acknowledge the decision was democratically made, but I just wanted to know how much money council went without for making the decision that was requested by some of the developers.
Okay, thank you. Courtney, did you have a motion on the masks?
Let's report back.
Oh, I guess if I'm working, I did ask for a report back. I didn't mean whether it was an email or a formal report. I'm good with either one. I'm just, I could talk to the chief further about it if I want to proceed. I guess we can at a later date.
Yeah, I know we're keeping track of those costs anyway, so yeah, if you want to touch base with them, we might be able to address that. But I'm sure it'll come back in a report in the end anyway. Okay, that brings us to correspondence, 7.1.
7.1 is Falun Dafa Month, May 2020. It is recommended that the correspondence from Falun Dafa Association Canada, dated April 16, 2020, be received and May 2020 be proclaimed as Falun Dafa Month in the town of Amherstburg.
Mover? Councillor Simone, second. Councillor Reno. And any questions or comments on that? Councillor Prue?
Similar to what I said last year, I am so very impressed with the town of Amherstburg. There are not that many towns that go to this length to recognize a worldwide association, but one that is actually quite small in Essex County. This group has been persecuted over a number of years, but they prevail. And I think we are doing absolutely a wonderful thing to recognize the suffering that has taken place in the past, and hopefully to bring awareness so that it will cease in the future.
Thank you. Councillor Courtney?
Yeah, great cause, and we did this last year, and Councillor Prue enlightened us with a little bit of deeper research than I knew about. Just confused, the proclamation or the request, it looks like they're asking for the date. Is there a reason why we're doing it for the whole month? And not that I'm sure it makes a difference, but I thought it was just asking for May 13th, Falun Dafa Day proclamation, but we're doing the whole month, correct?
The day is May 13th that they celebrate it, but they proclaim the whole month.
No, they do proclaim the whole month, and so that's usually what we do for the proclamation, is that the month is Falun Dafa month.
May 13th is Falun Dafa Day.
Right. They also have the specific day for themselves, but it is recognized as a month, and that is what they requested from us.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, if there's no other questions, all those in favor? Carried. And that brings us to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business? Councillor Prue?
Thank you very much. I have a couple of questions just in terms of updates. The first one is the report on Bodlow Island. I understand it says it's to report in the third quarter. Is that still on track?
We will be working towards meeting that deadline.
This question relates in part to Mr. Hertel's deputation and also some other motions regarding the Environment Committee. I was reminded yesterday that it's 14 weeks since Council voted to set up an Environment Committee, and I do not believe it has yet been advertised. Can someone explain that?
Yeah.
Well, through your worship to Councillor Prue, as you know, the clerk has been off on modified duties and has not been here for an extended time period. We will be looking at that in conjunction with her return to work on a regular basis. Right now, we are running short in the clerk's department.
We lost two more people.
And we've lost two more people as a result as well. So we only have Tammy here right now on a full-time basis in the clerk's department?
Looks harried. Okay, no, I do understand the pandemic and all the things have to come first, but there are some people who are very anxious that we start proceeding because we can
Council
the driveway, so it would be very nice to have them operating. And the last one, I'd just like to ask an update on the one aspect of the Royal Canadian Legion, the other one with the Model Airplane Club. And according to this, it says expecting an answer in the third quarter. I thought that meant last year. Is there any update on where we're going? I understand I have the consultant's report.
Sir, you're breaking up a bit there. So you're asking about the audio bylaw? Is that what it was? The sound bylaw?
Yes, it's the sound bylaw relating to both the Royal Canadian Legion and secondly to the Model Airplane Club. Caught on that, and the report from the consultant was, I think, received some time ago, and I'm just wondering where we stand with this.
Through you, Mayor DiCarlo. The noise bylaw is being worked on currently. With that type of bylaw, we're going to require public consultation, so it is being held until the pandemic is done, and we can allow for that proper public consultation. With the bylaw that's going to affect the community as a whole, we would want to make sure that's part of the process.
Thank you. That's perfectly logical, and I thank you for that update.
Okay. Other business? Councillor Courtney, did I see your hand?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just tying in with Councillor Prue with the Environmental Committee, and so that's been answered. I just know that potential candidates, whoever wants to get on it, would like to speak, obviously, and get information and things. We've got our OP coming up, so I know that we're deferring all the big ticket items till later. Hopefully, we can go all get together in chambers again and see each other in person, but. Yeah, so Councillor Prue already addressed that, so I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, any other unfinished business? Okay, any new business? Okay, that brings us to the confirmatory bylaw.
Item 11.1 is bylaw 2020-032, confirmatory bylaw. That bylaw 2020-032 being a bylaw to confirm all resolutions of the municipal council meetings held on April 27, 2020, be taken as having been read three times and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
Mover. Deputy Mayor, second, Councillor Prue. All those in favor? Carried. And motion to adjourn, Councillor Courtney. And second, Councillor MacArthur. And all those in favor? Carrie, everyone have a good evening.
Good night, everyone.
Goodbye, have it. Stay safe.
You can stop that, Cole, when you're ready.
Well played, Councillor MacArthur, I love it. Your little sing, your little...